We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. It's February. That means it's trade deadline month, the deadline coming up on February 9th. Are we going to have a lot of activity? Is it going to be a dud of a deadline? We're going to get into some of the latest news. Plus, we've got a bunch of injury updates to talk about as well. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, joined by Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, how are you doing? How are you holding up? And February's here. I mean, my trade radar is active, and I'm just waiting to hit the button that we've got to trade.
Yeah, we don't even have blips on the trade radar Nothing. Right now. Like, come on, let's go, NBA teams. What are we doing? It's only eight shopping days left. Come on.
Right.
This is not uncommon. I think we're kind of in those last couple days of the, now we got to have two firsts. You know, we can't possibly trade them for less than two firsts. And teams are like, how's a second in this guy? And then, you know, that'll change here in the next couple of days. No one should be waiting for any more clarity in the standings. I don't think we're getting any of that over the course of the next week. Like, that's still just a completely jumbled mess in the Western Conference, and then the Eastern Conference is in a weird spot where, like, the all of a sudden Washington Wizards have won six in a row and are pushing up the standings. Like, it's just weird stuff going on, you know, kind of on both sides of the ledger here. But I think most teams probably know where they are at this point and what they're looking to do. And now it's just, what are we going to pull the trigger on to make happen? Like, so let's go. I'm, you know, hoping some stuff, but, you know, for right now we're not even getting like a million rumors either. It's like, that's even starting to quiet down a little bit, but that said, we still get a handful of things that are out there that are worth addressing.
Yeah. For example, the guy that we've talked about a ton, John Collins, the Hawks, reportedly lowering their asking price on Collins. And this is really, you know, this may be bigger than a John Collins thing. This may be a trade deadline wide thing that really what has to happen is, and it's movement on both sides, but sellers probably need to get a little more realistic with what they're asking for. And buyers probably need to get a little more serious with their offers. But if you get more of this, players like John Collins, where teams are like, okay, we'll come down a little bit, that creates the possibility for deals to take place. So the Hawks getting a little more realistic, apparently, on their John Collins asking price, and maybe that helps facilitate something. Again, it feels like he's been on the trade block forever. I just can't imagine us going through another trade deadline and having him still be an Atlanta Hawk post-deadline.
Yeah, I at this point, I don't know what to expect. I feel like, you know, in year 10 of the NBA front office, we'll be like, you know, maybe this is the year the Hawks trade John Collins. It just feels like that's, you know, where we're at right now with him. But it's a little notable. I think we're hearing some stuff that's starting to make a little bit of sense, like the Hawks. Under the new front office regime, don't feel like they have to move him, but it doesn't sound like they're setting a super, you know, ridiculous asking price for him. It's probably ultimately going to come down to, is there a team out there that says John Collins for just roughly $25 million a year? We're good. We're good with that number. So we will give you fair value without, we will pay you to take him on, or without asking the Hawks to pay them to take him on.
Right.
I think that's where we're just going to have to wait and see. Is there a team out there that's like, you know, all right, we can do this. This could be one that maybe turns into a semi like Sabonis Haliburton type of deal where it's the Hawks just swap for a little better roster balance. I don't know exactly what that would look like, because I think they've got kind of decent roster balance right now as it is. So I don't know. I'm starting to feel like he doesn't go anywhere though, and he maybe just sticks there in Atlanta, and that kind of goofy weird team just plays it out and maybe gets into the first round and gets knocked out. Maybe they lose in the play-in round. I really don't know what to expect with the Hawks.
So you're saying he may not move at all at the trade deadline here, despite, and we just have another year of, you know, chalk it up to another year of John Collins being in rumors. I do think it's interesting, you know, well, to be expected anyway. You mentioned that the Hawks put out there that, hey, you know, we don't feel like we have to move. Like, that's just the playbook right now, right? That's any team that's looking to trade a player right now, they want to put out there, well, you know, you're going to have to convince us, and I'm not really looking to move this. But
I think this one maybe a tinge different just because of the change in front office structure. Correct. You know, right. If Landry Fields and crew feel better about John Collins than Travis Schlenk did, or maybe they're putting that out there because they feel the exact opposite, and it's like, yeah, we got to get this guy out of here. Like, I really don't know what to expect, because that's so weird. We don't generally get front office changeovers a month ahead of the trade deadline.
Season.
That's a pretty odd scenario, just their situation, I guess, in and of itself. It's not a scenario because it's actually happening. So,
well, and that's part of what I mean, is that regardless of what the situation is, whether they really want to get rid of him or not, that's the message that's going to be put out there. Well, we don't feel like we have to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
that's what they're going to do to try to get the best deal. In fact, I mean, just to kind of piggyback on that, the Pistons, they're not eager to trade Bojan Bogdanović, Alec Burks, and Sadiq Bey. The Knicks are interested in Bey. Again, maybe internally the Pistons are just like, man, I can't wait to trade these guys, but they're going to put out, and I don't think they are, but they're going to put out, no, we're not that eager to trade him. It's that time of year. But Bogdanović is one of the hottest names on the market, if not the hottest name on the market. The one that we've heard has, you know, double digit suitors and all of that. It seems like it would be an opportunity missed, and without knowing the exact offers that are out there, if the Pistons weren't able to strike while the iron is hot here. I think it's fair to say Bogdanović is, I wouldn't count on him playing this well next season. Say he's playing incredibly well. So it feels like they've gotten an opportunity here to really get something in return for him. He's another one where I would be surprised if, despite what the Pistons are saying, I would be surprised if he's still a Piston after February 9th.
Would be a little too. If I'm Detroit, I'm going to hold firm and say, like, I want a first, like, in a real first. Oh, like, you can.
I think they get that.
Yeah. The tough thing is, so many of the contenders that could really use him are in a spot where some of them already traded picks away, and like, they're in a weird place. The team I want to make a run at him, just because I think he fits everything they need, I think they could get there with relative ease to match salary, is the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, he would be so perfect on that team. Yeah. As a big wing, you know, could start if they need him to, come off the bench, just kind of give them everything they've been looking for. Any of the nights where, I mean, we know Desmond Bane said, hey, this foot thing's going to be an issue the rest of the year for me. Like, the nights where you need to sit him, you sit him, you put Bogdanović in, and you just kind of keep things rolling. So that's the team I would love to see just gear up and make a run at a guy like him. Hey, I don't want to get super deep into it because we're not talking about the Grizzlies, but they've got roster spot issues coming up in the future. They've got all their own firsts. They've got an extra first coming from the Warriors down the line. So there's a lot of time now for Memphis where I'm looking at it, it's like, you're right there. Like, yeah, make the move, are. like really push in and go. But from the Detroit side, yeah, I kind of get it. Alec Burks too. I know people were kind of like, yeah, maybe we can get him for 2 seconds. I think they're also a little wary of, we trade one, or if God forbid we trade both of these guys, no one can shoot left on that roster. Like, that's going to be a complete mess. And I don't think they want Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren's last 25, 30 games of the season just to be, you know, hey, just run around and do your best. Like, I think they're like, we want to have some semblance. And Detroit, by all accounts, is serious that, hey, next year we get Cade Cunningham back. We're going to add another high draft pick to this team. We'll have a year of experience for Ivy and Duren. Like, we want to be good. We want to try to make a real run. And to do that, we're keeping Bogdanovich and Burks, is like a real thing. And then Sadiq Bey, like, well, what are we doing? Why would we trade Sadiq Bey? Ah. We'll talk about it, but it's that's rude. I feel very bad. That was my reaction.
Poor Saban Lee.
Poor Saban Lee, man. The guy's like, yeah, I landed a deal. And I'm just
like, ah. You and I both, there was a split second there where you and I both went,
well,
and something happened. And it's a Shams tweet. And
it starts with the Phoenix Suns are. And I was like, Oh.
That shouldn't be allowed this time of year.
Right? Poor Saban Lee. He's like, I did it. I earned a spot in the league off a couple good two ways. And we're sitting here laughing. Man. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Sadiq Bey, if I'm Detroit, I'm not like you gotta kind of I'm not even a big Sadiq Bey guy. But like why would they trade him? Like, that doesn't make sense, right? Like, you're going to have to really offer me something good to get him. And I don't know that anybody's going to come forward with what it would take to get him. So, another team I'm starting to think. I would still probably move Bogdanovich because it's such a seller's market. You should be able to get a really nice deal out of it. But I really do, like, I don't know, man. I kind of am feeling like they might just kind of hold tight here and go into the summer trying to build a real functional roster.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
They certainly could. I think, we've heard these talks about, Danny Ainge, about him recognizing that it's a seller's market and he's going to try to take advantage of that. And he's very good at doing that, obviously. I just feel like there would be an opportunity missed. It's possible the buyers all just say, well, no, it's a lottery protected first, or we're not interested. But I mean, with this many buyers interested from what we've heard in Bogdanovich, I would be surprised if that was the case. But I could understand if that's the situation where the Pistons just go, nah. But I think somebody's going to budge between now and February 9th and give the Pistons what they were looking for in a Bogdanovich deal. The Knicks interested in Bay. They've also been linked to OG Anunoby. Clearly they're looking to do something up there. I'm with you. I'm not sure why the Pistons feel like they need to, or have any interest really in trading Sadiq Bey, but New York has a potential.
Maybe they really want those first back that they gave to the Knicks in the Jalen Duren trade. Maybe like, can we have those back? I want my picks back, all of them.
All of them.
And David Putney.
And David Putney.
That's right. Didn't feel like it.
That's right. The Pistons did pick up a disabled player exception, actually a fairly sizable one. It's over $5 million. This is due to Cade Cunningham's injury. Now, we've talked about these types of things a lot, where just because you get this doesn't mean you're going to use it, but it doesn't hurt you to get it. It doesn't cost you anything to really get this. So you might as well get the exception. And then who knows if it at some point an opportunity presents itself to use it, then great, but at least you have it.
Yeah. The metaphor I used, it's just put a tool in your toolbox and you don't want to get to the job and need that tool. And we didn't have it, right? Like if they got somewhere, it's a team that has a $5 million player is like, and we really want to clear this $5 million salary. Detroit, we'll give you 2 seconds. And like, we have no way to eat that salary. Like now you do. And if that's where it goes, and especially if you make an unbalanced trade or something like that, yeah, now you're in a position where we can do this. So I'm always in favor of teams. Go get these when you can. It's kind of my same approach to, as long as you don't get silly on how much you pay a team to make a sign-in trade, so you could create a big trade exception. As long as you don't get too crazy, if you pay them off with a second or maybe two, that's fine. I think that's actually, a good move. You just don't necessarily need to be in a spot where it's, super nuts to do that, but yeah, why not give yourself that flexibility to have it versus not have it, especially if it like this one literally costs you nothing.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, so Pistons are getting that for, and might as well. Mm-hmm. Weather impacting games. Pistons Wizards has been canceled due to weather. Pistons can't seem to get out of Dallas. Obviously, storms hitting the Dallas area. And Pelicans Mavs now impacted to the point where the Pelicans are going to fly to Dallas tomorrow, the day of the game now. They're going to fly into Dallas-Fort Worth. And so they're going to have to fly in, get off the plane, and go play. Not an easy situation, especially for a Pelicans team that's now lost, was it at nine, I think, straight. So they're on a major slide.
Yeah, we also
just got word, though, that Christian Wood will be out still for the Mavs. So it won't be a full-strength Mavs side against the Pelicans. But nonetheless, you know, winter weather can do this from time to time, and the NBA schedule is going to have to adjust a bit here and adapt.
I don't think I've ever talked about this on the show, but my sister and her family live in the Dallas area, just outside of Dallas, and it's really bad there right now. They actually they had a big ice storm that came in, put like a layer of ice over everything. Then it snowed. Then that snow started to melt a little bit, and then they had more ice come in on top. So now they're kind of getting that layering in. Yes, they do get snow and ice in Dallas and in Texas, but like when you live in the Northeast, like where I grew up with, like you're prepared for that. You kind of know how to deal with it and that, and their stuff's not necessarily set up for that. They were out getting some stuff the other day, and like power lines are getting so weighed down from the ice
that
they're snapping.
That's what happens.
And that's like what's causing all this issue for them. So they're thoughts with everybody in Dallas, you know, stay warm. Hopefully, you know, the grid holds up for y'all. I know that's been a problem in past winters too. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, these are minor, right? That these games are getting moved around, but it's part of it, right? It's now Pistons, Wizards. They're going to probably, my guess is they're going to end up with some kind of back to back at some point they wouldn't have had otherwise. Probably won't matter for the Pistons at all. The Wizards, though, they're fighting, right? They're trying to make the playoffs, so you'd have something there. And then definitely, like you said, tomorrow, that's a weird spot for the Pelicans to fly in, play, and then fly out right after. But I think they'd rather that than fitting in a back-to-back. Or we've even seen part of this was the pandemic, you know, changes with
games. Headers.
Three in 3 days. That's not where anybody wants to be. So, no. Yeah, it's a tough spot for the Pels for sure. And yeah, I checked. You're right. Nine straight they've lost. They've gone from 26-17 to 26-26. They are now 10th in the West, and they were sitting up in that 3-4 run when they started this losing streak, 3-4 range when they started this losing run. And that's, you know, that's tough, man. That's rough. Gotta get Zion back on the floor.
Yeah, and we do have a little bit of news there. Zion has been cleared to begin running. So that's a good step forward, but it doesn't, that, you know, he's still a little ways from actually getting back onto the court here. And I think at this point, the All-Star game has got to be in jeopardy for Zion. Like if he's not back on the court for the Pelicans prior to the All-Star game, he's an All-Star starter. Maybe he's not a go for the game.
Yeah. And then you start to wonder too, like, even if he is, like, is this where you're, you know, Willie Green, are you calling? I don't think we know the West coach yet, right? I don't think that's right. Been locked in. It'll probably, my guess, be, well, I don't know. I don't know if Michael Malone did it last year. I can't remember who it was.
I don't
know. 2 years in a row. But
I don't pay enough attention
to I don't either. But whoever the coach is,
whoever it is, if
Zion's playing, I guarantee they're getting a phone call from Willie Green and David Griffin is like, yeah, he can play, but like, one alley-oop, and then you get them on the bench. Like, that's all we need. But I guess they won't know until right before the game who the coach is. So maybe they're calling Joe Mazzulla, too, because they're doing the schoolyard pick right before the game. So
that's right,
Yeah, if he's going to play, it'll be, my guess is, pretty limited.
You're
not going to want him out there.
If you're Willie Green, if you're the Pelicans, you send a group text to both coaches. Hey, whoever gets him.
Yeah.
Bubble wrap, please. Yeah, bubble wrap. Please. Yep.
Yeah. One trip up and down, throw him one lob play, let him get his dunk in, everybody gets excited, and then please put him on the bench. Send him right back to us healthy.
Tyrese Haliburton now going to return for the Pacers. He's been out for 10 games.
Who's he returning against, Trevor?
Shocker. He's returning against the Lakers. You know, I was going to say the Lakers lucked out by not seeing Marcus Smart and Robert Williams to the Celtics, but other than that, holy crap, kid. It's all like whoever is hurt, when the Lakers are on their schedule, they are returning for that game. I earlier, it was like 3 weeks ago, I had a list, and it was basically a list of every top player in the NBA of who's come back to play against the Lakers. It's insane. And so I put it out there on Twitter knowing the reaction it would get. And of course, Lakers fans are just banging their heads against the wall going, what else? What else is going to happen this season, right?
Right. But we are excited that Halliburton's getting back on the floor nonetheless.
He's fantastic.
Another team that has slipped, right? They've lost three straight now. They're 24 and 28. They're 1-9 in their last 10 games. So again, before that losing run, they were 23 and 19 playing pretty good basketball. Now they're 24 and 28. So they need to get him back because they're right on that borderline. They're actually, in terms of games back, tied with the Bulls, one game ahead of the Raptors, and only 3.5 ahead of the Magic. So my hope is you get Halliburton back, that restabilizes everything you needed, and you can really make your push forward. You no longer have the Turner. No questions about him anymore. He's signed. He's locked in. Yes, he is still trade eligible, but he's very unlikely to get traded. So now you can just kind of move forward with whatever you're going to do. And, you know, and for Tyrese Halliburton too, if there was any question of like, should we put him in the All-Star game or not? Hopefully that's fully answered. We'll find that out tomorrow night, Thursday, when they announce the reserves for each conference. He better be a reserve.
He should be. Like he makes such a difference for them. He's been absolutely fantastic. And
I think the coaches get it too, right? Like coaches will make sure they took care of him, I'm sure.
I would hope so. I mean, you never know, right? You never know until it's done. But yes, I would imagine he will be. Another return, and this is actually a debut, I suppose, Daniel Theis coming into action for the Pacers. Now, again, we've been talking so much about Miles Turner and and the success that he's had. They haven't had Daniel Theis all season, so he'll be getting back in action. And he's a guy that you know pretty well, Keith, but a player who gets – I don't think he gets enough credit for, like, the role that he can play on a team. Not saying he's a top tier player or anything like that, but he can go get in there and do some things for a team and give you some physicality and give you a little bit of shooting and just be a presence. I like Daniel Theis and think that he's somebody that can actually help the Pacers.
Yeah, I think that physicality piece is what they're looking for. Rick Carlisle talked about it a little bit of, you know, hey, we don't have real big bodies on this team. They've got guys who are tall like Miles Turner and Jalen Smith and Isaiah Jackson, but none of those guys are like big, right? They're not, you know, super physical. And that's really what Theis kind of does at this point. And it's not like Theis is like some huge monster, but he's always played a little bit bigger than he is. He's always been a little bit of a physical banger out there. So my guess is he gets in there, gets in the mix, you know, provided he's not traded, because it seems like he's destined to be traded in every trade window possible lately. Right. But as long as, you know, you get him out there, and, you know, and then you start to get a sense of, all right, you know, do we need to go get a backup for Miles Turner next year if we're trying to be a good team? Or, all right, we have Daniel Theis for $9 million and we feel pretty good about it. So this is a good development for him and good development for the Pacers to be able to get a look the rest of the way.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, and then we have the Kings looking at Matisse Thybulle. And that, look, this Kings team needs defense. Matisse Thybulle, you say what you will about his offensive game. That's fair, but he is one of the best wing defenders in the NBA, defenders, period. He would help them. He would help them out considerably. But from the 76ers side, what would they be looking at in this type of a swap? What's their goal here in moving on from Thybulle?
Yeah, I think I would want one of the Kings bigs, maybe if I could expand this slightly and maybe get Rashawn Holmes. I would have to consider that if I'm Philly, just to have one more big man in there. Just, you know, then when Embiid sits, it's not just kind of Montrezl Harrell, Paul Reed, and PJ Tucker anchoring small ball lineups. Like you would have somebody you feel a little bit, you know, pretty good about. I it's been weird with Rashawn Holmes because he's all of a sudden not in the rotation. Not all of a sudden, he really hasn't been in the rotation for a couple months now for Sacramento. But I don't feel like this guy just forgot how to play. I think he's somebody everybody kind of liked at a point in time there. So maybe you could get him. If not, if you're thinking a little lower, maybe a draft asset, maybe you get like a Trey Lyles or a Alex Len, something like that. Chimezie Metu, maybe with that. I like Thybulle a lot for the Sacramento side. I'm just not sure where the Kings go unless this does expand into a slightly bigger trade for Philly, where they can get something a little bit better back. But I think this kind of tells you too, like Thybulle's probably done in Philadelphia. I'm not even sure he gets a qualifying offer this summer. I think they're just ready to maybe move on.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then if you can get something for him, then great. Then you do it. And especially if it's something that can help your team, especially like a backup big, which we've seen they could certainly use in Philly. Last thing we've got today. Well, I guess the second, we've got two of them. Fabian Lee gets his contract with the Suns, and then Chris Silva gets the two-way contract, and then Chris Silva to the Mavs on a 10-day. Both minor moves, but again, no disrespect to Saban Lee. Had us all excited for a moment there, and then it's still a relatively minor move.
Yeah, you start off with one of the big insiders, starting with, you know, team has, and it's like, trade.
And especially when it's like the Suns, who have been, I mean, we've been hearing Jay Crowder trade rumors for 6 months now and all of that. So, yeah.
All right, so we'll start with the Saban Lee one. This is great for him that he's played himself back into the league. Good for the Suns to get him on a two-way. Wouldn't be surprised if this is a two-way that down the line, if there's roster room, it gets converted and he gets moved over to a standard spot. Campaign continues to be out of the lineup for Phoenix. So they've been kind of cobbling together that point guard spot. I think Saben Lee's a little bit better than Dwayne Washington. I think he's played pretty well in Phoenix when given time. So good for him to get that spot. It wouldn't be a surprise if Dwayne Washington catches on somewhere else. I think that is, you know, potentially possible, or maybe even Phoenix brings him back on like a 10-day or something down the line. So this could be one of those where we're kind of playing games with roster spots and we're doing some stuff. Chris Silva to the Mavs. Sure, why not? I mean, Chris Silva's been a guy. He's shown some stuff on various call-ups with different teams. He's super athletic. He plays with a ton of energy, pretty good rebounder. He looked for a minute like he was going to be another one of those guys that he kind of pulled out of their G League system and developed into a player and maybe popped, but it didn't quite happen. He doesn't really shoot it well enough for his – he's kind of like an undersized four. Doesn't really shoot it well enough to fully stick. But, you know, Dallas has been in a weird spot. If Maxi Kleba is still not ready, obviously Christian Wood's still not ready, why not get one more big out there that can play for the next, you know, little bit before the All-Star break?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, on a 10-day, that's about as low risk as it gets. So, again, heading into the All-Star break, why not give him a look? Yep. All right. I think that about wraps things up for today. We'll see what breaks tomorrow. And again, we're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline coming up on February 9th, which means the buzz should continue to grow as we do get closer to that date. And again, prices do start to become more realistic on both sides, both buyers and sellers. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Make sure you are subscribing to the NBA Front Office Show over on YouTube, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.